南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。
Hello, everyone. I hope this podcast finds you healthy and secure. Going to do a little, I think it's something different today, but I want to answer a question I've tried to answer many times over the decades. I think answer it in a little different direction. What is Buddhism? I've been asked this. You may have been asked this. You may have asked it yourself. And if you haven't, stop to consider, what is it that we're practicing? What are we doing? And yeah, the five W's, right? The why, the how, the what, the where, the when. But I want to make it simple, because here's the big, big secret. And it's a secret you may have heard of before, but then as soon as we say it or we hear it, all of this 84,000 teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, or, we start talking about Siddhartha and his life and the Four Noble Truths and the mission of Buddhism, and it starts getting complicated again. Well, the simple secret is Buddhism is is super, 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 super simple. The idea of Buddhism is so simple that it's excruciatingly simple. But why is it excruciatingly simple, Sifu? Not because of Buddhism, not because Buddhism is so hard. What's hard is our human mind. That is a hard nut to crack. So if you're thinking Buddhism's hard, it isn't. It's super simple. What is hard is our stubborn, constant, insatiable appetite for identification. Okay, here he goes again. What the hell is identification? So look, I've come at it from that angle many, many, many times. Those of you who've been here for a while, you've heard it in many, many, many ways. We talk about the 3,000 realms in a single thought moment. We talk about the 10 realms or worlds. We talk about interpenetration. We talk about energy into formation, making stuff, potential, into, right, all of that. Manifestations, instantiations, moment to moment to moment. We've heard all of this. So I want to come at it from the other way around. I'm not sure how this is going to go, but I think it could be useful to kind of alter our perspective for a moment. So we humans, we already know this. That's what Shakyamuni was trying to say, is that Buddhahood isn't something that you discover or find or get from somewhere. You are it intimately, you already know that this body, this physicalness that you and I are, is not a separate thing. And already, just saying that, your human mind of possession and ownership is fighting. So, oh no, you don't. I know what I am. I know what is me. But you know. You know that without, that the air that you breathe, the oxygen, but there's a lot more in air than just oxygen, is in every aspect of your flesh, organs, body, blood, and that without it, you would not exist. Does that not mean that your existence is interwoven with all of the air around you? You know this. A tree, though it looks independent out there in the blue sky, exists because of the transfer of CO2 and water and nitrates and all of the stuff around it. From the leaves to the roots, that tree exists as a manifestation of everything around it. That you cannot separate the two without ending up with no tree. Think about that. The same way you and I cannot exist without basic, I hate the word particle because that sounds like a package, but it's just a set of tendencies and conditions instantiating. That without O2, oxygen, without H2O, without on and on and on, metals and, oh, that's what we are. We see, here goes a weird analogy. We see ourselves as flashlights, independent flashlights. But what if, mental experiment here, we took those flashlights and we took out the batteries and the bulbs, we basically have a plastic or tin can we'd be holding and pointing around in the dark, right? But now, you've seen enough science fiction and movies and read stories and just your own mind. You can imagine that what if a flashlight was just sucking out of the environment around it, just photons, and concentrating them into your tin can and shooting them out the front. Be a pretty amazing flashlight, right? Distilling and concentrating the stuff of the universe. Certainly of our atmosphere. But, you know, our atmosphere doesn't have photons. They come from the sun, stars, light in the universe. So what if that can was just capturing the light of the universe, although it at points in the dark seems very scarce, there's light all over the universe all the time. You know that, right? It's just that when we turn our backs on it, everything looks dark, but the light's still there. It didn't go away. More truthfully, we turned away from it. You see, exercise your mind here. And then think of this magical little can in your hand as a device that just captures the light and focuses it so that you can, though you turn your back on the light, use the same light that was always there. And now for these feeble eyes of ours, you can see. Make sense? You get that, right? Pretty cool flashlight. Now I want you to imagine that tin can flashlight that gathers light from the universe and focuses it so you can use it like a beam of illumination. And here's what I want you to do in your mind. I want you to transform that can into a human being. You, me, just flashlights, just cans, containers, processing the universe through a focused expression, a human life. And this is the fulcrum, in my analogy, for what Buddhism, what Shakyamuni identified as the demarcation point of experiencing the universe in this can versus the mind that emerges from this can and insists that the can is separate from the universe. That everything around the can, what it sees, what it can see, what it does, is unique to that can. And I'm sure many of you are, if you're following this analogy, will be all right with that. Yeah, look at all the cans. Let's give that one a name and that one a name and let's give me a name. That is what Buddhism identifies as the problem. Because the truth, what Buddhism identifies is the truth, is all those cans are doing exactly the same thing, processing the exact same source. So they're not unique. And putting forth the exact same stuff. The only tripwire in this game is the mind of the can. Because the can wants to be special. The can wants to identify itself as separate. It's not us, it's not we, it's not me, 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 me. I don't care if there are 3 zillion billion others of me. Me is still me. Do you see the problem? And the problem isn't that, you know, you have an ego. The problem is that the ego identifies the problem. That the ego is constantly identifying it. See, I'm different from you because I have blue eyes. See, I'm different from you because I play guitar. That makes me a guitarist. Ooh, I'm different. I used to say this when I was in my teens. I just have had the experience of doing varied things and doing them fairly well. And I remember other kids asking me, how do you become so good at these things that you do? I'm not patting my back. I'm just saying. There's an answer I used to give from my perspective. And that was, you know, anybody can do anything. I know that's a cliche. But the key of what I'm talking about was everything is a matter of application. And I got a lot of glazed looks. But I was serious. If you apply yourself, and what does that mean? apply yourself. Well, that means practice. That means do it over and over again. That means applying yourself means putting your mind to it. If we didn't put our minds to certain activities, we'd just be a blob and die. You want to feed yourself, you have to put your mind toward how to do that. And if the world population today is any example, we have a lot of problems regulating our the way we put our minds to things, yeah? But that just obviates the problem. What Buddhism says is that activity of identification, of craving an identity, is the source of all our troubles. So how do we become beautiful, all-encompassing, all-energy, all super efficient flashlights? And Buddhism says, well, realize what you are. Realize that you are a collection of all of phenomena in the universe focused into a beam of being, constantly being. You're a processor of this energy. And it's put in spectacular color and shape and form for your mind to see. Not your eyes to see. Your eyes are just a receptor of light, and those lights, they get interpreted through nerves and go to a brain, and the brain processes this is this much red, this much blue, this much green, and the brain makes it into a readable, memorable object, but it's just an object for you to gaze upon. And then your mind kicks in and says, that's a tree, that's a dog, I like that, I don't like that. It starts qualifying, and what is another name for all that data collection and qualifying? Identification. Because if it is that, then that is not me. Here I am. This is what Buddhism calls samsara. This is the condition of samsara. Constantly, voraciously. And what are you analyzing? Go back to the flashlight. What are you analyzing in the light? Remember, the can is receiving all of the universe. Every formation of energy in the universe coming through the can. So what comes out of the can? Same thing. It's just focused. And if you saw everything as no thing at all, but just this focus of all potential, there would be no need to identify something that you already are. You are everything, and everything coming into the can is you. The you here isn't the can. The you is the entirety of the universe. You're the observer of this human process. That's amazing. Now, I don't need to have that. I am that. I don't need to worry about losing that. It's that as long as I see that. This takes a really simple, but what's complicated about this shift of mind? Because on paper, in this analogy, it's just, wow. But in our human mind of constant wanting to be what? You already are everything. What do you now want to be? Something separate from everything? How can you do that? That's a trick of samsara, and that's what creates all our suffering, all our pain, all our anxiety. It's about trying to be an individual drop in an ocean. It's a ridiculous thing. Yes, I'm a drop of water, salt water. I'm in the ocean, but I'm a unique salt water drop. And you know what? Buddhism says, okay, be a drop amongst uncountable drops. That is the ocean. But if you want to live your life as a drop that's happy, that understands the nature of everything, that's not so obsessed with being separate and just enjoying the oceanness of your life, then drop the charade. Retrain your mind to understand, okay, I'm a drop, but I'm not separate from the ocean. Wow, how freeing is that? How liberating is that? How emancipating is that? Right? These words that we read in these sutras, these clever languages and translations trying to capture this idea. Because the answer isn't in the words. The answer is we are trying to convince our mind to open and understand the actual situation of life. So we can de-stress. So that we can see there is nothing that we need to reach for that we don't already contain, experience, have. Isn't this outstandingly amazing? Look at that. Just even for just a moment. Doesn't that just fill you? Fill you with what? What you already are. Everything. This isn't mystical. The only thing getting in your way is your monkey mind of wanting what? You have everything. The illusion of wanting tells you you don't have everything. There's the formula for suffering. That's Buddhism. And we have an amazing tool given to us by these thousands of years scholars. Just repeat this law, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, and you are invoking the flashlight. Not the human flashlight, the process of instantiation, all formations, and you're witnessing it. Free of identification. When you see life without there's no number, no word I can think of to contain. It's uncontainable, this human mind of identification. It's uncontainable. If you could travel throughout the galaxy or between galaxies or just the whole universe, you would constantly being, accruing, grabbing, having, identifying. It would never stop. That's powerful. That's complicated. But we have a switch. Not an on and off switch. A switch to go from all of that noise to just the clarity of a an open can, taking in the energies of the universe and focusing out a beam of some portion of all of that, some amalgam of all of that. Not cutting it out like a cookie cutter out of the universe, focusing it, grabbing it from all around with our own tendencies and conditions, right? A 3-inch can, a 1-inch can, a 2-foot long can, a 2-inch long can. So what? It's still all of the universe coming through this portal that we give a name to. Okay, hang on to that. But understand that your life is everything, conditioned as it might be by the shape and length of your can, but it doesn't alter all of the energy. It just produces it wider, thinner, faster. It's all the same. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I can't make it more simple than that. And this thinking I've talked about before, as in concentrations of photons of light, yeah? That everything in the universe is like a cloud of light. And that we are simply focal points, as planets and trees are. They're just condensations, like the condensation on the mirror in your bathroom when you take a shower. The humidity is everywhere. And because of, you can explore the science if you want, but it's not necessary, because you see the humidity take shape on the mirror. And when it really collects heavily, it distinguishes itself as collections, heavier collections in the drops, and they run down the mirror. This example is everywhere in life. Learn to see this way in life. And this is quite a paradigm shift. Suddenly, the avarice for things, it ceases to have such an impetus, a power, that all that power is fake. It's the avarice of meanness, wanting to identify. Here I am, here I am, here. We know you're there because you're everywhere, and everywhere is you. That paradigm shift, knowing it, super simple, but thinking that way moment to moment to moment to moment, it's not Buddhism that makes it hard. It's our human samsaric attachment to thingifying so that we can identify self. That's the engine of our suffering. Now, some of you will say, well, you're annihilating me. You're telling me I need to be some, what, speechless hermit in a cave because everything's an instantiation or imaginary version of me? Well, that would be a gross misunderstanding. And if I led you to that kind of thinking, I apologize. Like I said about the ocean, you want to see yourself as a drop? Go ahead. But be that drop, not separate from, but within the ocean. Live your life of a drop in its maximal form. Observe, witness your oceanness while a drop. You see the difference? Buddhism doesn't say, okay, you want to be a drop, but now go go hide yourself under a rock and just, you know, be alone, separate from. Well, no, that's the same problem. Buddhism is identifying that you are not separate. See, the human mind is constantly messing with this idea to make it about me. It's not. It's not about you. It's about what you are about. Words fail, obviously. I'm just pointing at something, just like Shakyamuni did. And then scholars came along through time as our capacity got better, and our modern scholar, Nichiren, said, look, just look through the can. Nichiren didn't invent it. He just, for our minds, gave us a way to look through this vessel, this apparatus, this can. And instead of focusing our earthly minds on the can, he took the can and he went, aha, now do you see? That's the law. Not the can, not a container. What's going through it? Oh. Now your experience is full. There's no need to own because everything's here. You can call your can whatever you like, but the bodhisattva effort is, okay, you're a can, but focus on what's going through your can instead of what material your can's made out of, what color is it, what size. Stop talking about the can. And be. It's like, you may hate me for this, it's like Yoda. Those of you who remember the Star Wars sagas, still going on. Remember when the whiny little somehow going to be Jedha Skywalker. I'm trying. And Yoda said, try, do not. Be, do. Trying is a lament that's putting obstacles in your own way. Stop trying. Just do it. That's what Daimoku is. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I'm in the flashlight. I'm in the universe. And the universe, and what do we say all the time? Is a reflection of me. That's our samsaric trigger, our switch. Not don't be. Buddhism is about being everything. Because humanity, our mental avarice, is constantly defining what we are not. No wonder it makes us suffer. That's life. Life is suffering. Then you die. Life sucks. Then you die. Well, yeah, if all you're concerned about is the can, your darkness. The can, the flashlight in this analogy, has no value outside of its processing, its formation's power of the energies of the entirety of the universe, manifesting, focusing, being laid out in front of us. There's the amazing beauty. There's the wow, this is all me? Wrap your head around that. Stop being what you're not. Start being what you are. Everything. That's a huge mental shift, isn't it? All right. I just thought maybe we needed to be reminded of this. The simplicity of Buddhism, it's not complicated. What's complicated is humans. It's our monkey mind. How many monkeys do we have? How many little voices are screaming at us from all over the trees, trying to get our attentions, trying to convince us that each of those little monkeys is the universe, the important thing, when in fact, they're just expressions of little narrow bands of everything. We, as the collector, don't have to identify every little drop in the ocean in order to back up and go, that's an ocean. That's amazing. Why am I fighting for being this drop rather than that drop? Why am I identifying the size of the drops? My goodness, look at the ocean. It's all me, and I am in it. I am of it. I am instantiating my little drop, which is a manifestation of all of it. Wow, I am drop, I am ocean. Through my mind, I can perceive the ocean. The oceanness of my drop. Bodhi. I hope that this word salad of analogies maybe gives you some alternate triggers to understand what it is we're doing when we chant, when we practice, when we study. It isn't so that we can gain more individuation. It's so that we can naturally train our minds to drop the pretense. Because the reality is so much larger and freeing. All right. I love you guys. I'm so proud of your practice. If you're new here, congratulations. Keep your practice strong. I'm not as weird as it might seem. All we're trying to do on this channel and on the website, the bookstore, the mandala store, is support your awakening. So please stick with it. Those of you who've been with me for years and years, I can't. You guys are amazing. And our patrons, those of you who have the financial fortune to help us sustain the cost, the financial cost of keeping these channels and the podcasts and the bookstore and so forth going. I'm deeply humbled. Because, as you know, I don't. This isn't about me. I'm trying to be the can. I'm trying to be the funnel, the facilitator. I'm trying to take whatever I've been able to experience and cull from this practice and just let it flow so that you can do with it what you need to do to clear your path to this understanding, yeah? Thank you. And I still don't know what I'm going to focus on next. I need to look through some sutras and see. But I'll pick something, and I will see you again in the next one. Right? And as usual, bye for now.